How to be led by the Spirit of God. We've been working through this series called God's Ways, a little goofy play on words that when you want to know how to get from point A to point B in your car, most of us dial up the app Waze and it tells us where to go. It warns us of the traffic jams. It warns us of the potholes in the road or if there's road work. It helps us to navigate around the trouble to get to where we want to go. Well, that's if you're driving in your car, but if you're living life, we don't need an app. We need God. And we need God's ways. And God directs us and he guides us and he helps us to move around the potholes. And well, sometimes he takes us through those for our good and he leads our lives. And we've learned that God pursues us first on the journey. We don't dial him up, that he calls us first and he pursues us. And we learned that our response to him is to repent. As you saw today in the waters of baptism, that when we turn to God, he changes our life. And we were heading one way, and he turns us a 180 and we head the other way. We learn then that after we repent, there's a pursuit on our part. God pursued us, but now we pursue him. And we learned last week some of the principles of pursuing God and hungering for him and wanting to know him as a person. Well, today we're going to take that even a step further and learn, how does God direct us? Anybody ever wondered what God's voice sounds like? I mean, what does God talk to us? When you hear somebody say, God told me, and you say, well, what did he tell you? Did he talk to you really? Like, did he dial you up? Did he speak like a speaker microphone kind of sound? How do you know God talked to you? How do you know God leads you? And I want to tell you that we have a father. And as a father, he wants to talk to his children. And that's really a step one. Not step one in your notes, but step one to understand, right? Do you realize that God wants to talk to you? Okay, that was really a rousing response right there. Do you realize that God really wants to talk to you? He does. If you think he doesn't want to talk, then you won't listen. I mean, because why would you sit around and wait for someone who doesn't want to talk to you? But when you realize he wants to talk to you and he does communicate, that should make us so off the charts excited. You mean we can go and wait on God and listen? And the one who said, let there be light, and light came and put the stars in the sky, that same God wants to talk to us. That's powerful. It's awesome. In the scripture, in your outlines, the scripture from John 14 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He lives with you and will be in you. What an amazing thought. Who is this helper? In your notes, the helper is the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Greek word is the word paraclete. And I bring that up because it's easy to remember. I didn't bring my soccer shoes out today, but I think of a pair of cleats when I think of paraclete. And it kind of just makes me remember. And the word means one called alongside to help. I know when I'm playing sports, if I don't have my cleats on, I slip and slide and I can't function very well. When I'm not walking with the Spirit, I slip and slide and I don't function very well in my life. I need my helper. I need good traction. I need my guide, my counselor to come alongside to help. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's our counselor. Some people think, well, man, it was really easier in the Old Testament. I mean, God just spoke through a rumbling mountain. And when the mountain shook or the bolt of lightning struck, oh, we better pay attention. God is talking. Or when God was mad, he just opened up the earth and swallowed people up. And then we knew he was unhappy. I mean, do you think maybe it's easier then? The people of Israel followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they would just watch and they would just follow. Wherever the cloud went, they'd follow. Well, listen. Some might think it's easier to do it that way, but if you look back in the Bible, the people disobeyed and wandered away even then. That same God, that same Holy Spirit can live in you. So you don't need to look for the cloud. Where'd the cloud go? Where'd the cloud go? Where'd the cloud go? He's in sight. He takes up residence in your life and speaks to you, speaks to your mind, guides you through your heart. That's an extremely, extremely powerful thing. And not just for a nation like the nation of Israel, for the kingdom of God, all of us together. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? How does God lead our lives? We want to talk about that today. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says this. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Flip it around. Those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit. Are you a son of God today? Daughter of God today? Then you're led by the Spirit. It's just whether or not we're listening sometimes. And whether or not we're willing to follow. In your notes, let's look at this. How do we get led by the Spirit? Number one, in your notes, learn to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. Learn to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. How do we do that? Well, let me give you three ways we do that this morning. Number one is God's Word, the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's God's Word. It's God speaking. How many have ever written a love letter to someone? Okay, how many have ever read a love letter from someone? Okay, now when you read that love letter, what are you hearing the person who wrote it, their voice in your head? Well, yeah, because they're talking to you, right? They're talking to you on paper. They've written something out, but that's what this Word of God is like. It's God talking to us. So the number one place we go to be led by the Spirit is God's Word. We open it up every day, and we've given you the helps with the Matthew or the gospel reading this month. And we want you to read God's Word because that's God talking. It's you, Him leading your life. And if you read God's Word, you find out all kinds of the ways He talks to you. God will tell you how to manage your money in the Bible. Really, where is that? It's all over the place. Jesus taught on how to handle our money more than any other subject, more than prayer, more than faith, more than heaven. 25% of His teaching, because He knew that our money was tied to our heart. And He simply says, stay out of debt. Spend less than you make. Be really generous. Give to the things that God loves. And there's more. It's more detailed than that. But you can find out how to manage your money in God's Word. You can find out how to have a great marriage in God's Word. It's there. Many, many passages talking about husbands, how to love your wives, wives, how to love your husbands, how to share mutual respect and submission and kindness and politeness, and how to live a life that makes a godly marriage. You want a healthy marriage? God will talk to you and show you. How to be successful in your work. It's in there. Read the Proverbs. My goodness, the Proverbs are laced with biblical principles on how to succeed in your work and how to be prosperous. Now, the goal is not prosperity. The goal is God. But when you follow God, He leads you in the good things. God wants to bless His people. And there's many, many subjects. I get a lot of people, especially young people and singles, ask, well, how about getting married? How do I find a spouse? It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 7 makes it really, really simple. I love the way Apostle Paul just gets to the chase. And he says, just get married. Simple, right? Find a spouse, get a girl, get a guy, marry him. He doesn't give us a lot of detail, but there are other principles to find. Talks about how to be the right spouse before you marry. Scriptures talk about the person to look for, the person of integrity, of godliness, who fears God, who serves. And once you see what a godly person looks like, then you can start to identify someone that might be a good marriage partner. And I could go on and on talking about all the things that God's Word directs us in. Now, it's important when you look at God's Word to look at it in context. How many know that you can twist God's Word to say anything you want if you twist it hard enough? You really can. You can find all kinds of crazy things when you misread or take the Bible out of context. The old joke is the guy who took the Bible out and he really needed God's guidance because he was having a hard time in his life. And he needed God to tell him where to go, but he didn't know where to go. And so he just prayed, God, lead me. And he opens up the Bible and he puts his finger in. And the verse he read was, and he went out and hung himself. That can't be right. So he closed the Bible. Oh, God, I need to know. And he opens the Bible again. And he puts his finger down and he reads, go out and do likewise. How many know you can take the Bible out of context? So you need to read it in the way it's meant to be read and not just hunt and peck. That's why we've given you a systematic plan. That we read the letters as a whole and read the Bible as a plan. Now you say, but Pastor, I don't know how to read it. It's a hard book. That's why we're here, to have classes and Bible studies and home groups so that you can learn that. So if you're here today thinking, I don't know what to do, That's what the groups are for. At the Welcome Center and in the back of your seat backs, there are booklets that talk about our groups in common. You can join a group in common and learn how to read your word and how to get the most out of it. It's really, really important. Letter B there is any counsel or direction that agrees with God's word is how to be led by the Spirit. So in other words, if I'm talking to you this morning and what I'm saying to you is in agreement with God's word, then that's God speaking. Say, well, Pastor, not you speaking. Well, am I not? Remember that love letter thing I asked about? If I'm reading your love letter, it's not me that wrote it, but the words in the heart are the same, right? So if I'm telling you something that agrees with what God is saying, then we can create a parallel there. Now, it's important then, though, to test everything. I like to say, and it sometimes surprises people, but I tell them, and I'll tell you, don't believe a word I tell you. What? I thought you just said, no, don't believe a word I say. Verify what I say. Go into your scripture for yourself. Say, is what he said in there? If it's in there, we're on the right track. If it's not, and every so now, once in a while, once every 30 years or so, I make a mistake. And it's when I thought I was wrong and I wasn't. Just kidding. You won't find that in the Bible. But verify. That's in the Bible too. The Apostle Paul called these people called the Bereans because they lived in Berea. And he said they were more noble than the rest of the cities because when he preached, they went back to the word and they verified it. And he called them noble for that. So when I'm teaching you, yes, go verify. Okay? And if there is the occasion that I've made an error, I expect you to keep me accountable and say, hey, Pastor, I think this was a little funny here. What did you say? And then we can have a dialogue. And if you correct me, praise God. I'm better for it. If we find that there was no error, then we're both happy and we move on. And it's great. So it's a win-win when we verify. Letter C, have a sensitivity to the voice of God in your spirit. Have a sensitivity to the voice of God in your spirit. John chapter 10, verse 4 says, his sheep that follow him will know, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. Don't you know if you follow someone close enough, you start to get used to their voice? When you follow God, you say, well, Pastor, how do you know it's God? Can I just, this is going to be the lamest answer ever, but I'll just have to say it. You'll know. That's like when somebody says, how do you know you're in love? And what's a good answer? You just know, right? I mean, husbands and wives, you just know. Well, you know because you follow him and you begin to realize what his voice sounds like. And I could tell you story after story after story. Time won't allow today to tell you the stories when God will speak and you follow his word. Now, there are sadly some times when I've heard God's voice speak and I have not followed. Those times end up bad. They always do because God is always leading in his good will. He's a good God, and he wants you to follow him. So we start out in God's word. Number two, we learn to trust the Holy Spirit's voice. Learn to trust the Holy Spirit's voice. So when you hear it, you've got to start to develop a trust for that. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. That's kind of a bummer. That's right after he got baptized. And I'm not going to, bum out Adam and Dana this morning. But right after Jesus got baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to confront the devil. Dana, don't worry. I don't know if that's going to happen to you. And like, ugh. But how many know that God sometimes leads you into places that are not so easy? But it's for a purpose. It's not always a cakewalk to follow God. But he's developing things in us. And so we must listen and trust him, even when the times are not very easy. In 1985, I came to the church and became the youth pastor as a young 24-year-old. And for that first year, everything went great. And we knew God led us here. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, God led us here. It's a long story. I'll spare you. But it was clear God led us here. That first year was phenomenal. Youth group grew from my first night of three. We had 25, 30 kids coming. It was so powerful, so wonderful. We went on a ski weekend about a 1 year in. Literally, as God is my witness, I am telling you the truth today. After that ski weekend, we took 25 kids. That next Wednesday night, one showed up. Like, what in the world happened? The next Sunday, 3 showed up. The next Wednesday, no one showed up. I thought so too. I'm seeing your faces right now going, huh? That's what I thought for 9 months. Week after week, 1 kid, 2 kids, 3 kids. And I followed up. I asked what's going on. I did everything I knew how to do. I went to some of our associates and said, I'm quitting. I said, something's obviously wrong. I don't know what happened. I'm baffled. I'm clueless about this. Everything was going great. And it's like somebody just flipped a switch. I'm a failure. I don't know how to lead. I'm done. I'm quitting. And through the encouragement of some really, really wise people and some folks that knew better than me, they encouraged me to stick it out, and I began to pray. And as I prayed one day, God spoke so clearly. He said, I know you've been struggling. So I just wanted you to know, at the beginning, things went great, and the last few months, it's been really hard. I want you to never remember. And I didn't change anything. I did the exact same things that I did when we were growing as I did when things were not growing. And God said, I just wanted you to know, it's not by your talent. It's not by your skill. It's not because you've got whatever giftings you have. I grow the ministry. I grow the church. And I let it go from that day. I've never worried about numbers. I've never worried about growth. It's God's problem. I'll just do my faithful best and what God does with that. And you know what? That's such a freeing thing. When maybe I look across town and say, we're a great church of 300 people. But there's a church across town that has 3,000. Thank God. And I don't have a pity party and throw a temper tantrum. Why? How come we're not 3,000? It's not my problem. It's God's problem. He already told me. He'll do what he's going to do. You be faithful. That's God's voice. You learn to trust it. Even when things are hard. And when you learn to trust God's voice, it will get you through so many difficult times. So many difficult times. We just had our district council, as I mentioned, when I brought the ladies up. And oftentimes, the usual banter at district council goes like this. Oh, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a year. Hey. You pat the back, so you do all the stuff. Oh, how long have you been at your church now? And I say, well, since 1985. It's 33 years now. And they go, whoa! That's amazing! And in my spirit, I'm not rude to them, but in my spirit, I'm going, ain't amazing. It's very simple. God didn't say leave. Right? You learn to trust God's voice. Isn't this the truth? If God said leave, I'd have left. And people probably would have been happy if God said that. God didn't say leave, and I don't want to know if you're not happy. Just hold that to yourself. But that's really the deal, right? You follow God's voice and you learn to trust him. God didn't say leave, so we don't leave. Very simple. When he says to go, we'll go. Trust his voice. Number 3, stay close to God so that you can hear him. Stay close to God so that you can hear him. Galatians chapter 5, 25 says this. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How many know that if you want to really hear somebody clearly, you get real close to them, right? I'm getting a little older now. My hearing is kind of difficult. I'm married to an audiologist. Go ahead. You can joke all you want. But when I find myself more and more having to go and I lean in because I need to hear better. Or maybe there's chaos going around. I need to lean in to hear. Or if somebody wants to really say something intimate to you, what do? They whisper in your ear, right? They whisper in your ear because they want just you to hear it. If you want to really hear clearly, you got to stay close to the person you want to hear from. And I know there's a lot of folks here that have complained and struggled with, oh, I never hear God talk to me. And my first question will be, well, how close are you? How close are you? Because he's talking. Now, remember, it's not always this audible thing or to your heart. It's in the Word. It's through the people that agree with God and that are speaking in accordance with God's word, and it's in your spirit. He wants to talk. So I would really counsel that if you're struggling with hearing God, how close are you to God? But even then, sometimes God will yell. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes he yells. Think about poor Jonah. Yes, God, I heard you, but I'm going the other way. Big fish, eat, barf. That's yelling. That's yelling right there. I'm going to get your attention one way or another. And sometimes God gets our attention one way or another. So we can listen or we can wait for him to yell. Because he loves us. And I'm a parent. My kids are raised, so I don't yell anymore. But sometimes there was yelling. And not because I'm an abusive parent, but sometimes it's, get out of the parking lot where the cars are. Right, parents? You yell because you want safety to happen. You yell because you're urgent. And you need the child to immediately stop the behavior or else it's going to be bad. God will love us that way. If you want to hear God's voice, you stay close to him. And we talked about that last week in our pursuit. Spending time. Our obedience. Walking closely. Serving. Being sensitive to him. So on and so on and so on. All the things. If you missed last week, look at the video on the website. Number four. Learn to identify the distracting voices and block them out. Learn to identify the distracting voices and block them out. How many know it's hard to hear in a very, very busy place? It is. If you're in a crowded restaurant and you're sitting across the table, and there's lots of noise and music and TVs and everything going on, it's hard to hear because there are distracting voices that are going on. Galatians chapter 5 says this, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. Church, this is true. The world is full of distracting voices. It's full. You're not going to make them disappear. God has called us to discipline our listening ear to what is distracting, block them out, and discipline our listening ear to God's voice and tune him in. Kind of like, now we don't have digital radio now, but anybody remember dialing radio? Remember that? You get it slightly off and it's, and you dial it, and then it comes in clear. Sometimes our lives are like that, that the reception isn't very good. And we've got to tune in our listening ear to the voice of God and take away those distractions. Now, some of those distractions can be good things. Jesus told a couple of parables. One of the parables he told was about an invitation to a wedding feast. And that he invited people, and people were saying, oh, I just got married. I got to go see my wife. Oh, I just bought a new piece of land. I've got to go see the land. Oh, I just bought a new yoke of oxen or some tools for my job. I just bought that. Oh, so I can't come. Sorry, Lord. Are those bad things? Not a trick question. A spouse, land, are those bad things? No, they're good things. But sometimes the good can be the distraction of the best, right? No, he's not saying get rid of your spouse, get rid of your land, get rid of your job. What he's saying is make sure that what needs to be first is first. Keep God first. Husbands, if you want to be a great husband, put God first. Put him before your spouse. If you put God before your spouse will thank you because you'll be a better husband for it. Wives, the same way. Put God before your husband and you'll be the best wife he ever could dream of. Kids, put God first and you'll be a blessing to your parents. Parents, put God first and you'll be a blessing to your children as you lead them in godly ways. Put God before your work and you'll be the best employee your boss could ever have. God will always magnify you. Always. But we've got to put aside the distractions. And there are plenty of them. Make sure he stays first. And when you do that, you'll begin to hear his voice more clearly. You'll be closer to him so he doesn't have to yell. He can just whisper. Number six, obey the Spirit's voice when you hear it. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to obey it, right? How many have heard God's voice and said, God, I hear you, but my answer is no. Anybody ever been that bold? Come on. It's true and you know it. I know it. Does it end up well? Not very well. Here's what the scripture says. One of the great passages of the Bible. You have to have it underlined. Memorize it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Easier to walk on a straight path than up and down, around the corner, all this, all over the place? Of course. better to drive on a straight path, better time than the really, really crazy windy roads that make you car sick? Straight path. How do you live a straight path? Scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. How many know that God knows more than you do? He knows the future. You don't. Why trust your own intuition when you don't know what is coming, when you can trust God who does know what is coming? I'm thinking God. Makes more sense to me. So when we hear His voice, we have to obey it. What you read in God's Word, it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable to do what God's Word says. Trust it. Obey it. When you do, you'll find your path straight. That's learning to be led by the Spirit. Jesus said, follow me. Some followed Him. Some didn't. The ones that followed were led by the Spirit. The ones that did not got into all kinds of stuff. And life got difficult for them. Follow. He'll lead you. Number six. Learn to rely on each other as you live by the Spirit. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says this, for the lack of guidance a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. I've done this so many times I can't even count. Lord, I'm praying, I want to hear your voice, I'm reading the word, and I'll go to people that I trust that are godly, that have more wisdom in certain areas than I do, that have been Christians longer than I am, and I'll go to them and say, what do you think? Now remember, they're not God. And everything starts back to God's word. If they give me counsel that's contrary to God's word, even if it's by error, I don't listen to it. That's how you test the spirit of the person speaking. Is it God? Is it according to His word? Yes? Okay. I'll pray on that a little bit more. No? Don't think I'm going to listen to that counsel. And so then you begin to work through. But we are given to each other. And one of the primary people that I listen to is my wife. God made us one flesh. If He made us one flesh, why wouldn't I walk in step with the person who's one flesh with me? And so I listen. If she's got a slightest doubt, nope, not going to happen. I usually wait until God confirms that in her. And when He's confirmed it in her and we can both walk in lockstep, then we're good. Is it possible even to go sideways a little bit even when you go together? Sure, it's possible. Sometimes we can both maybe, you know, not hear quite correctly, but it's sure a lot easier and it's sure a lot more consistent. Say, but Pastor, I'm not married. What do I do? Well, you've got God still. He's not leaving you hanging. You've still got His word and you still have various other counselors in your life. Work with people. Let the body of Christ be a part of your life. So those are all really, really helpful things for us in learning how to be led by the Spirit. The application for this morning is just a simple question. Is your life led by the Spirit? How do we put these pieces together? I'm certain that something in these various points I've given you this morning has touched a nerve. Whether it's your time in God's Word. How are you supposed to know which way to go if you're not even reading it? If it's collected so much dust that, you know, it'd cause a cloud in your room if you picked it up. And how do you even, you got to get into His Word, church. It's 101. It's getting into God's Word and spending time in prayer, listening to Him, developing that listening ear. How many when your loved one actually calls you? You know, you can do that now. You can use your phone and you can dial a number and you can talk to someone. You really can. You don't have to just type a message. You can call them. How many without their name showing up on the, you know, on the thing? When you hear a voice, you know immediately who it is, right? They don't have to say, hello. I don't call Sandra and say, hello, this is Greg. She'd like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? Of course I know your voice. How is that? Because we're close. Because we're close. Don't you want to know God that way? That when God calls, you know His voice because you're close? You can. You can. Learn to trust His voice. Learn to take away the distractions. Learn to obey Him when you hear it. Learn to walk with wise people and counselors in your life, and you'll be just fascinated with the places God will take you because you've learned to follow His voice. In your application part, in your notes, ask yourself some of these questions. Do I consistently meditate on God's word? Do I apply God's word to my daily circumstances? Do I trust God's word even when it doesn't make sense to me? Do I make every effort to stay as close to God as possible? Do I obey the voice of God immediately when I feel the conviction? Have I evaluated my life for distractions and ruthlessly cut them out? Have I surrendered myself with Spirit-led people to help me in my journey? These are great questions. Read these a lot this week. Maybe read them a lot every day, forever, so that you stay on track and that you can constantly be hearing the voice of God. Now, here's what I know. There may be people in here this morning, as Adam's testimony was so powerful in baptism, that he was coming for quite a while to the church here before he finally made a decision to follow Christ. And where's Adam? Where'd he go? Bro, I'm so proud of you, man. So proud of you. It's good to see your mom. Fellow Arky. Yes. That there may be others like Adam that have been here, have been hearing, but you haven't yet surrendered your life. Can I just tell you, there's nothing better. Scripture says that those who surrender to Christ have never been disappointed. Doesn't say it's always been easy. Doesn't say that there aren't difficult times. That's true. But when you walk with Christ and you're led by the Spirit, you won't be disappointed. That's true. So if you're here today and you've not yet made that decision, I'm just asking you, why not? Why not? Why not be led by the eternal God? Why not be certain that if today were your last day on earth, that you'd be welcomed into God's heavenly kingdom? Why not? But I know sometimes our will is strong. You can surrender that will today to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and stop doing it yourself and start doing it His way. And you'll find joy. You'll find peace. You'll find love. You'll find purpose in your life. You will. You will. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask for a response. I just pray that God will lead you right now more strongly than He's ever led you, right to the cross. I pray that today's your day. Can we bow our heads together? Lord Jesus, I thank You for this day today. I'm so excited. The worship time was so rich. Watching Adam and Dana just brought tears to my eyes. Praying over Crystalyn and Emily makes me so proud. And teaching this message about being led by Your Spirit makes me so urgent for everyone. For God, You have led my family's life so clearly, so wonderfully, so just blessed. Through the tough, through the easy, through the wonderful, through the challenges, You have led us. God, my heart just wants to scream, trust God. I pray, Lord, that if there are some here this morning that have not yet decided to trust You, that today is the day. I pray, Lord, You're speaking to hearts right now, to have them turn, acknowledge You as God, and start following You. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm the only one looking around. If that's you today and you say, today's my day, I want to be led by the Spirit, I want to turn my life and begin to follow Christ. I haven't yet made that decision, but today I want to. If that's you, would you just acknowledge that by putting up a hand, putting it back down? I want to pray with you today. Yeah, thank you. In the back. Somebody else would join this one today. Why not start? Journey can start today. Anybody else want to join this one? Oh, such a great moment right now. Anybody to join this one? I'll wait just a moment longer. Praise You, Lord. All right, praise God. Praise God for that person. Others of you, if you're sitting here today saying, this is what I needed to hear today. The Holy Spirit was speaking, and you realize, and maybe you've decided to follow Christ, but your path and His path haven't always been the same. And that you'd say, being led by the Spirit is, I've been a little off. And if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for putting yours up. I need to be led by the Spirit more closely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, all over, all over. Yeah, you can apply these principles today. Today. But it takes the first step acknowledging, I need it. I need Him. Praise God. I'd like to ask everybody to stand with me. We're going to close and end in a word of prayer together. If you raised your hand this morning, this is not to embarrass you, nor to, you know, create any kind of spectacle. I never believe in that. I don't think Jesus did that, and I don't ever want to do that. But, there is an accountability in telling someone what you did and what you need. I found that to be powerful in my life. So at the end of this service, there will be people up in front. We call them prayer partners. They're leaders of the church. They're people that know how to pray. They're people that know how to keep confidentiality. And so if you raised your hand today, I'd like to ask you to come at the end of the service when Sean will be playing some music. Come and pray with one of these. And simply, if you raise, simply say, you know, I raised my hand today. If you were the one that wanted salvation, they'll pray with you. If you raise your hand for another reason, they'll pray with you. Even for other reasons, if you're sick, if you need a job, if life is just hard and you want somebody to be with you, they'll pray with you. That's what we do. We join together. You're not alone. So why go from this place with still that solitary thing? Two are always better than one. So I want to invite you, after I pray, to come and pray with these up front. Would you do that? And nobody's watching. Nobody's going to be gawking. So let's do that together. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, for this one person that raised their hand and wanted to make this their birthday, their spiritual birthday, April 29th, 2018. What a great day for a birthday. I pray in Jesus' name. And let me just pause. Let me do this. Let's just pray together, shall we? For the sake of this one. Let's pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I know that you are God and that you died to save me from my sins. Today I receive that gracious gift. I invite you into my life to lead me, and I want to follow you from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for that gracious gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For that one, if you prayed that prayer, your name is being written as we speak in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I pray for the rest that raised their hands and others that maybe did not, that are wanting to be led by the Spirit more clearly. I ask in Jesus' name that they would apply today's teaching to their life and that today they can begin a new journey. A journey that's close, that's clear, that's guided, that's without guessing, that's without assumptions. Truly a Spirit-led life. I thank you for them today, God, and I ask in Jesus' name, Father, to pour out your Spirit and to verify your word by speaking clearly to them. I give you the praise, Lord, in your precious name. And everybody said, Amen. Prayer partners, would you come right now? Take your place in front.
And please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.